Hey there, ho there, ladies and gentlemen, and all things between, like squirrels, I guess.
I didn't know they listened to the show.
I don't know. They're nuts about this show! Goodbye, oh. Everybody!
And that's the end of Talkin' Talkies.
We're on season 3 of Talkin' Talkies, and we're in Febumonte, so I think it's time for a Monty Python movie.
This one's called Life of Brian. And I don't mean Griffin. I don't mean Dennehy. This is...
my uncle, not my uncle either.
This is just Brian. He was born in the manger next door. To you know who. Not Lord Voldemort. This is the you know who they can't mention because they didn't want to get in trouble.
They still got in trouble.
They did, yes. This is Brian Cohen. He was born in the stable next door. And he even gets visited by the three wise men. But they messed up and they went to the wrong stable.
Yes. And they go take their gifts back.
Yes, and they talk about following the sheeps. The wolves. Yeah, it's a Monty Python movie. So it's another one of those movies where a lot of the stuff could have been skits. And they pretty much are skits. They just happen to have a big plot behind them.
It's just a series of skits that just take place at, you know.
In you know, the time of...
Between, like, 3 BC and 30 AD.
Yeah, is it AD yet?
I think they say statistically they fucked up back in the day and Jesus was technically born in, like, 3 BC.
Yeah.
So...
Jesus was also technically born in the summer. But, that's a whole other thing. So Jesus is doing his Sermon on the Mount, and we have Brian's there with his mother, and they're all just arguing because they can't hear. And there's like actual women, and then there's, you know, Monty Python actors playing women.
Oh yeah.
And he meets Judith, the rebel. You know, and he wants her and. Well, we hate the Romans because that's the whole plot of this time period is everyone hates the Romans. So they join the People's Front of Judea.
Which is different from the Judean People's Front.
Yes. And they spend more time fighting each other than they actually spend fighting the Romans.
Well, that's political movements, right?
Yeah. Don't relate to that strongly.
We all should be fighting against the big evil. But instead, we're fighting against each other.
You gotta do
like a three-way dance, man. You're in a three-way match, and Brock Lesnar's one of the guys, man. You gotta team up, bro.
Yeah.
And then figure it out afterwards.
Well, they tried that when they did the triple threat with AOP and DIY and the Revival, and it was awesome.
Awesome, but the algorithm.
The algorithm, yeah. So basically what happens here is Brian spent... The entire movie is based on Brian being mistaken as the Messiah. So that's
the way they do it is like they're just looking for anything in that time period, in that area. So if someone says anything remotely bright or anything, they just immediately start worshiping that person.
Yeah.
And thinking that they should be their new leader. So, like, he ends up in weird situations, and he ends up saying or doing weird things, and everyone's like, oh my goodness, this guy should be worshipped, or oh my goodness, this guy should be, you know, like, our new leader, or whatever. And he just keeps, like, getting put in situations.
Right, because he's with all these mystics and prophets, and all he does is repeat something that he heard Jesus say, and now he's got a following. So he's got this he's got fanatics following him, and he just wants to be Brian, and things he does start being hailed as miracles.
Oh yeah.
And basically, they become so excited over all this stuff that they all end up ignoring him and leaving him anyway, except for Judith. So what does he do with Judith? Well, what else would anybody do when the girl is there?
Yeah, man. You know. Whoa!
What do they call it in The Sims? Woohooing?
Woohooing, yeah.
Yes.
Woohoo in the...
If you wanted to see a lot of full frontal nudity from the 1970s, this is a good movie for you. Because,
yeah,
I don't know if
it's... it's from the 1970s, so...
Yeah.
You get what you get.
You get exactly what you get. You also get full frontal male nudity, if that's your thing.
But again, it's the 70s. So yeah. You get what you get. Just a lot of hair.
The best part is how Brian's mother always gets involved. He's not the Messiah. He's just a naughty boy. There's no Messiah here. There's a mess, all right, but there's no Messiah. She, like, gets on her knees in front of the guard, like, right after she dismisses everybody.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, and they start, like, semi-worshipping her, too.
I think the best part is when he's captured by the Roman guard with the speech impediment.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Pontius Pilate with the speech impediment, right?
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about how he gets in with the liberation fronts or whatever. But they want him to write graffiti on the wall of the
yes
of their home base or whatever. And the guard comes around and he's like, "No, no, you can't do it like that." So the freaking guard literally helps him write all over the wall. Oh, so great.
My friend Biggest Dickus. Do you hear that? Blessed are the Greek.
No, I think he said. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of one-liners in the movie too. Yeah, Pontius with his speech impediment because he's speaking like Elmer Fudd. He can't pronounce.
When it comes to the part where they're toward the end where they're trying to figure out who they're gonna not have get executed, and the crowd just keeps on giving him names that they know he's gonna fuck up.
Again, it's a huge collection of skits and we could go on and on about them here, but the basic thing that happens is basically Brian is agreed. They agree to wee-wee's Brian. And they do a whole parody of the end of the film Spartacus, which you might have to review at some point, where everyone claims to be Brian. Oh my god, yeah. Wear an earring. Because Jim Hurd's a genius. But yeah. Where they do the whole everyone is Brian.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to get saved. They're going to get cut down from the cross.
I broke the dam. No, I broke the dam. We all broke the dam. And, of course, we end with a big musical number, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, which is really catchy and also kind of funny because it's just nothing but a bunch of crucified guys. But, like I said, it's a whole section of skits. And, again, we did this with Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And even with the first movie we reviewed, now for something completely different. Here's the thing. If you like Monty Python and you appreciate British humor, you're going to have a good time with this movie. If you don't really get it, you're probably just going to be like, this is ridiculous. And or to paraphrase the first movie, you're going to be like, this is silly. And you may not have a good time.
Silly.
But I have a lot of trivia for Life of Brian I can go over here that'll bring up some fun plot points here, and I think you guys will appreciate this. First of all, you had 6 cast members who played 40 different characters.
Of course.
So just to bring that down, Graham Chapman played Brian. He was Biggest Dickus, and he was also the second wise man. John Cleese was Reg. He was the High Priest. Centurion of the Yard, Deadly Dirk. He was Arthur and the First Wise Man. Terry Gilliam, that was Another Person Further Forward. The Blood and Thunder Prophet, he was Jeffrey, he was Gaylor, and he was Frank. Eric Idle was Mr. Cheeky, Stan slash Loretta. Harry the Haggler, the culprit woman who cast the first stone. No, don't throw the cast the first stone. Say which one I say to. He was the dull youth. He was Otto. He was Gaylor's assistant. He was Mr. Frisbee the Third. So Eric Idle pretty much got the most here.
Like he usually does. It's usually him.
Usually.
Please.
Yeah. Terry Jones was Mandy, which was Brian's mother. He was Colin. He was Simon the Holy Man. He was the saintly passerby. And then Michael Palin was Mr. Big Nose Francis, Mrs. A, the ex-leper. Ben, he was Pontius. He was the boring prophet, Eddie. Nisus Wedus, and the Third Wise Man. And then everybody else was just, like, a character. Like,
yeah.
That's your typical Monty Python cast there. So, Michael Palin's role as Pontius Pilate was to make... He basically dares the soldiers to laugh, and he was actually daring them. The soldier extras were ordered to stand there and not laugh, but not told what Palin was going to do. So, in fact, Palin himself briefly stifles his own laughter when saying biggest dickus in front of the soldier, and if he finds the names risible.
Do you find the name risible?
And it's
I
so...
say the words?
Biggest?
Biggest?
Dickus?
Dickus. He's got a wife, you know. What's her name? Incontinentia Buttocks.
That part made me laugh out loud. That was a legit LOL. So, in the interview section of Flying Circus Live at Aspen 98, John Cleese said that because of the massive protests against the movie from all denominations of Christianity, he would often joke that we brought them all together for the first time in 2,000 years. Well... It's one way to unite the Christians. All right, so here's one of the Nude Brian takes. The very first take where Nude Brian addresses the crowd, Terry Jones pulled Grant Chapman aside and said, "I think we can see that you're not Jewish," referring to Chapman being uncircumcised. So, how did we correct this? With a rubber band, of course.
Oh, God.
I think I would just prefer the... circumcision at this point.
That's like dedication, bro.
Dedication to your craft. Well, it's Monty Python, so I don't doubt any dedication to this craft. So, despite the signed contract, EMI pulled out as producers a week before production was about to begin. So who came to the rescue?
I know.
Ooh.
George Harrison.
Yes, do you remember George Harrison? Remember the Beatles? Remember Abbey Road? Ooh, I remember.
I remember.
He felt so strongly about this movie that he, in his own words, pawned his home in London and his office building to raise $4 million. He founded Handmade Films and produced the movie. When asked why, he said, "Because I wanted to go see it." And Eric Idle often joked that it was the highest paid overpriced movie ticket ever.
And then Eric Idle did the Ruddles.
One of the original concepts of this film was that Brian was actually going to be the 13th apostle, but miss all of the critical moments of Jesus' life. I think that would have been a fun movie, too.
Even if it's just like a half hour long. Extra
yeah.
Long sketch, I'd be interested in seeing that.
I would have enjoyed that. You missed the Last Supper. Was I late? You could almost write it yourself.
Or he, like, shows up and, like, dude, he just walked on water. And he's like, God damn it, I was under... He was, like, having lunch.
Yeah.
In the bottom of the ship. Like, he just walked across the water to us, bro.
So the Pythons all agree that this was their peak performance film. They wrote that they had beautiful surroundings. Grant Chapman finally beat his alcoholism. No last-minute directorial changes, unlike Holy Grail. And they even filmed in a location with very agreeable weather, and they thought it was their best writing effort. So, Monty Python fans, they believe Life of Brian was their best work. Let us know if you agree.
Definitely their happiest, and they were all in their best place.
Yeah, for sure.
In their life, because yeah.
I still prefer Holy Grail to this one, but it's very obvious to see that maybe I actually now prefer Holy Grail because they still did a good job with it despite all of those efforts working against them, the miserable weather and everything. But speaking of weather, when they did the cross scene, it was very, very cold and very early in the morning, and John Cleese couldn't stand it, so that's why he's actually wearing clothes. The script was written in the Caribbean, where the Pythons hobnob with, among others, Keith Moon, the drummer from The Who. Moon was slated to play a street prophet in the scene where Brian hides among them. Eric Idle saw Moon the night of his death and remembers him expressing excitement about the role, which eventually went to Terry Gilliam. And the script is, in fact, dedicated to Keith Moon. They also, despite rumors, were never going to call this Jesus Christ Lust for Glory. That was simply something that Eric Idle said in an interview, and it became their stock answer. Although they were considering a part where Jesus got really pissed off about the fact that he was crucified on a poorly built cross, being that he was a carpenter. So, again, I would have enjoyed that. And one last piece of quick trivia here. To receive an AA certificate in the UK allowing audience members under 18, they had to remove the word cunt, where Reg blames Brian for allowing the Romans to almost discover the Resistance secret hideout. Now, it's John Cleese says the word klutz there, but if you're paying attention to his lip movement, he does not say the word klutz. So, yes, that is Life of Brian in a nutshell. Series of skits all taking place in 1 AD for the most part. I believe that's where we ended up settling as far as a year was concerned.
In there.
Yeah. Basically, first century life. That's basically what it became, a parody of first century life.
It's not even like first century, it's like
first
couple decades.
A lot of controversy, but again, it's a good movie. And if you like Monty Python, you're going to like this. So we're going to end Febumonte by reviewing Monty Python's Meaning of Life, which I have never seen. So this will be my first time watching that.
I haven't seen it before either.
So I'm looking forward to that. And
some of the sketches, though.
Yes. All right. So we're going to give you the March lowdown, as we got 5 movies coming up in March and we got 4 coming up in April. So here is the schedule. After Meaning of Life, we're going to review The Wolverine. And that is prep for Logan hitting theaters in March. Then we are going to review the 2014 Godzilla, which is prep work for Kong Skull Island coming out the next week. Then we are going to review the animated Beauty and the Beast, which is prep work for the live action Beauty and the Beast, which comes out the third week. And finally, the original corny, cheesy Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie with Ivan Ooze, in prep work for the new Saban gritty Power Rangers movie coming out the fourth week in March. And then March 30th, we're going to review Escape from New York because we needed a movie to film. We needed a movie to review and there's nothing to prep for. So we went to Netflix and we're like, what haven't we seen? And Escape from New York is the answer. Dan's first time seeing it. And I believe it may also be my first time seeing it because I've seen an Escape movie a very, very, very long time ago. But
it's like me in Sin City. I don't know if I read the comic or watched the movie.
Yeah.
I know I did one of them.
All right. Here is our April schedule. We're going to kick off April with Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Great classic piece of work. Disney and Warner Brothers coming together along with a few other studios, loaning out characters like Betty Boop and Droopy Dog. I'll have lots of trivia on that. One of my all-time favorite movies.
Classic.
So good. And made even better by the fact that there were no stand-ins for any of the animated characters, so they were literally acting to nothing. Not like today where you've got like the dude with all the stuff
you
on.
You got Sean Gunn.
Yeah.
crouching for weeks on end. Acting like he's Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah. We're going to review Fast and the Furious, the original, because the Fate of the Furious came come out, comes out in April, and it's I guess the last one, and maybe we'll review them, but I've only ever seen the first Fast and the Furious, and
I've only seen the second.
So, it'll be fun. We'll have a good time reviewing it, and who knows, maybe we'll throw in some more Fast and the Furious movies down the line here. The third week in April, we're going to hit 420, so we're going to review Half-Baked, because stoner movie.
Yeah.
And then last week in April, my wife's birthday movie, she has chosen us to watch Breakfast at Tiffany's, her all-time favorite movie. An Audrey Hepburn movie from the 60s that I've actually never seen, but I'm going to watch that with her, and she should be on that episode to review with us, just like she did last year with Devil Wears Prada. So again, guys, if you want to suggest a movie for us to review, and it's a good movie, and you want to be on to review with us, you are more than welcome to do it. Otherwise, Dan and I are just going to pick stuff, and you're just going to have to deal with what we pick.
Deal with it.
Deal with it, bruh. Till that time, I'm Chris, and that's Dan. We'll see you next week for the final, the first annual and also final, Febumonte comes to an end with the meaning of life. What is the meaning of life? Spoilers. We'll tell you next week.
Yeah. Bye.